Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig from the Agile 2012 Conference Day 2 in Dallas, in Texas. Bit of a rainy old night in Dallas. You wouldn't really know it from the Gaylord Hotel and Convention Center. It's such a huge place. Pretty much you don't even know what's going on outside, but I can hear a few raindrops and see some lightning in the outside world. Anyway, day two, let's get into what we saw today. Kicked off with a keynote from Bob Sutton. You may know him. He's written a whole bunch of business books, including Good Boss, Bad Boss, and The No Asshole Rule. He's also a professor of management science and engineering at Stanford University. His keynote today was on scaling up excellence. Really, the point of the session was that organizations often have a center of excellence, but the challenge is spreading it from the few to the many without screwing it up, which is often a challenge that we have with Agile. To kick things off, he had a few choice points for things to look for being successful at scaling up. First one being more versus better. It's a strategic trade-off about how you want to do this, but thinking about things like voltage loss, which is where things get lost in the translation, the learning curve problem, the fact that it takes people a while to get good when spreading knowledge, and the overload problem, which is the burden of management trying to maintain momentum. His second choice point was alone versus others, which is about the extremes of going alone versus opening it up to others. At one extreme, you might have someone like an open source company who is completely open. The other extreme may be a company like Pixar, who's very closed and doesn't even bring in any outsourced contractors. Then the midpoint might be where you collaborate with competitors. The third choice point was Catholicism versus Buddhism, also known as replication versus localization. This was about being aware of things like replicating can always be a problem. Cranking out clones, you know, might be a solution, or taking a solution you have and just tweaking it to be localized to your local market. His seven scaling principles that he shared with us, the first was to link hot causes to cool solutions. So fire up those contagious emotions, get people really passionate and emotive, but then have a cool solution to channel their energy. The second is to live a mindset, don't just talk about it. So essentially walking the talk. Number three, when in doubt, take it out. So you've got to reduce the cognitive load so that you can take on the necessary complexity. Number four, using little things that pack a wallop. Essentially that is using things like music, language, smells, sounds to affect people's behavior and get them on board. Give them the little cues about, you know, what message that you're trying to send out. Number five, connect people and cascade excellence. So, you know, if you get one group working really well, get them to go and mentor the next one. Number six, the mindset is the steering wheel and the incentives are the juice. So things like money is always an incentive, but take that off the table. But remember, things like pride and shame are as well. He gave the example of a mime who was essentially mimicking jaywalkers, and it had a huge impact in getting people to stop jaywalking across the street. And number seven, don't put up with destructive beliefs and behaviors, because bad behaviors are stronger and ingrained more deeply, and you don't want to spend a lot of time dealing with them rather than the work. And some of the traps that he mentioned, things like don't mistake swarming for scaling. You just can't go and raise awareness, right? You've actually got to go and do something about it. And be aware of people that want to do things too fast and take it too far. Yeah, it's just people who want to do the quick and dirty type solution. And his final advice was that remember that every time you add something good, you have to find the unnecessary and bad things to remove so that you can make way for the new good things, which is really just removing waste that we've been used to in the lean community for all these years. So the second session I got along to was Mike Griffiths. He was talking about why Agile needs more cowboys. Essentially, his talk was really just about leadership, giving some, you know, things to look out for. So things like modeling desired behavior. So you want to model the attributes of a good leader. And over many years, they've done lots of surveys. And the things that people look for in good leaders are things like honesty, forward-looking, people that are competent, people that are inspiring. And remembering that a leader needs to do things like shield the team, remove impediments, carry food and water, and always re-communicate the vision. Leaders also, you want them to create a learning and sharing environment. He gave the analogy that one of his leaders told him once that if you have two hands to work with and you use one to cover your butt, then you only have one hand left to work with. So you have to set examples, admit mistakes, share information. Also remember to share information and power. Remember that Agile is about moving from micromanagement to navigation and communication. That you need to foster functional accountability, and he spent a bit of time talking about Patrick Lencioni's five dysfunctions of a team. Remembering that the team is very important, that good people trump everything, and he gave some statistics from the Kokomo estimation model. So he's been around a while, from Barry Boehm, but the stats say that good people have a multiplication factor of 33 over bad people. So, you know, 33 times difference. And even good people have good processes. There's still a 10 times factor on that as well. So people really do make a difference. He also challenged the leaders in the room to challenge the status quo, to not forget about things like innovation and learning, and to encourage your people. So treat your people like volunteers. You know, when volunteers turn up for work because they actually have a passion, right? If you pay people, you're just paying them to turn them up. But you've got to do things like you've got to say thank you, and not just thank them, but realize why you're thanking them and what the benefit was. A lot of his stuff was based off a project leadership book by Jeffrey Pinto. Pretty good session, and I'll be trying to catch up with him before the end of the conference. So this afternoon, I had two sessions which really kind of made the conference for me, two really great ones. First one from Michael Spade and Lisa Radkins about leading conflict. And a lot of exercises in this particular workshop, as you'd expect. What they're really talking about is systems-oriented leadership. That remembering that the human system is not in line with what Agile does, and remembering that leadership is not a system, it actually begins inside. Now, the key point that they're reiterating through the entire talk was that you have to see conflict through what they call the right view. Now, the right view leads to the right action. And the key point that they kept bringing home all the way through this talk was that everyone is right partially. And I'll repeat that again. Everyone is right partially. So you always have to look out the fact that when someone actually comes up with something, says something in a meeting, particularly when you're in a conflict situation, is there's probably something to what they're saying. And it's your job to go and investigate that and find out what that is and understand their viewpoint. When you're going to deal with conflict, you need a container. So we're not talking about a physical container here, but the container is, you know, your environment, and that's made up of behaviors, norms, and cultures, and that's your team as well as the environment that you live in as well. So we did a little exercise called an informal constellation, a bit like a solar system where, you know, we had the conflict in the middle, people then spanned out like planets about how far from the initial conflict they were, and shared their views, you know, quite openly in that little exercise as well. Also talked a bit about how positivity affects team performance, that essentially that all teams have an emotional bank account. Now, positive interactions, you know, which are things like appreciations, acknowledgements, more inquiry, they're a deposit. And negative interactions are a withdrawal. So they're things like blaming, defensiveness, stonewalling, contempt, and excessive advocacy, all the things that you don't want. So, you know, thinking about, you know, what is your emotional bank account for your team. Also, Lisa gave this little tidbit, which I thought was quite nice, is that you should never praise people for the work they do, but for who they are. If you're just on work, someone raised the point that, you know, sometimes it's very hard to praise some people because they don't finish stuff, or, you know, they're not working on something challenging. But if you praise people for who they are, not just the work they do, you'll have some success. They also talked a bit about conflict protocols. This is more about the protocols that you do if you actually have conflict. So, you know, if you're going to have that, get the team to sign up for that, particularly if you're dealing with lots of issues. Remember that in dealing with conflict, you have to be a facilitator. So, you know, someone has to be helpful in helping the group get through it rather than resolving it. And if you are in that position, you have to keep reviewing your right view beliefs, right? And understand your triggers, right? Is someone actually triggering you versus, you know, just, you know, guiding your understanding. So a really, really good session. And finally went off to see Jeff Patton, who never disappoints. His talk was The Product Owner Role is a Stupid Idea. I guess you kind of know where this one is going. Essentially, he had a whole bunch of things that he was sharing. Firstly, remembering that safety isn't a success. So he talked about the waterfall model and the fact that Royce told us back in the 70s that it wasn't good. And now Agile is a new waterfall, right? We still have a product owner, they create a backlog, and then we throw it over the wall to a development team. So I don't think I can really disagree with him there. Remembering that velocity isn't value. You know, being great at delivering software using Agile, really, what does it matter? Really, we should essentially be delivering things that change the world, not just delivering software. And if we think in that kind of mode, then we're going to be a lot more successful. He also talked about the fact that discovery complements delivery. If you're just building stuff, your morale suffers, but the thrill is really in seeing how well it works and debating the results and planning for the next approach. in this session, he gave a whole bunch of different examples, you know, things like story maps, personas, some really, really cool stuff along the way. I really liked, you know, his lean startup model that he put up there, what he called an MVPE. He also had a ready for release board, which was really cool as well. Lastly, to succeed, you have to adjust your head, right? We're in this whole client vendor model. We have to be less like waiters, more like doctors, and solve problems. He suggested that we take on the persona of a music producer. Music producers listen to lots of bad music, but then have the role of actually helping make others do better. And you also have to be a film director, which means that you have to give direction and passion without stealing ownership. You really have to focus on the talent of the people you're working with. But all in all, what he was really trying to say is that the product owner role really doesn't add a lot of value. We have to get back to teams that are working together, working on products, and getting out of this whole model that we've got ourselves into in the past. So two really, really good sessions, and I'll be writing some more up about those in the coming days. Anyway, that's it from me from day two at Agile 2012. Another big day tomorrow, a few interviews and things to get through as well. So I'll catch you then. Viva la revolution.